We started off a new theme called More Than Milkshake. And to refresh your memory, where we kicked off from last week, milkshake kind of represents pleasant times in our lives. And it's lekker to visit around milkshakes and drink milkshakes and enjoy it. But life is more than just milkshakes. We have challenges. Sometimes things happen in our lives for which we don't have answers. And we, in those difficult times, we tend to question the Lord and wonder why. So the theme is called More Than Milkshake. And our foundation scripture is going to come up, Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like us just to refresh our memory again from verse 26 to 27, and I want to include verse 28 as well, if you guys can organize that for us. It said, when God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth, but now he makes another promise. And this, we understand, is a prophecy that's not yet fulfilled, but it's relative to where we are at today, because there's a shaking taking place in the world. Can anybody relate to that? Everything's been shaken across the world. All sorts of things are being shaken. Our system of belief, the financial systems, the literal earth has been shaken. Governments have been shaken. Families, our personal lives are being shaken. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. Verse 27, this means that all of creation will be shaken and removed. Wow. So that not only unshakable things will remain. Verse 28 says, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. God, we thank you that in a world that is literally falling apart around us, you remain the same, you remain steadfast, rock steady. You are faithful and true. You can be relied on. You are the God who keeps his word. You don't promise one thing now and then recant on your promise the next day. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And thank you that in this time that we look at your word, Lord, Holy Spirit, you will teach us what it is that you want us to learn from what we look at this morning. Thank you, Lord, that as we share your word, it will change our lives this morning, Lord. That when we leave this place, we will be more in love with Jesus than when we came. And we'll have a better understanding of your plans and your purposes for our lives. To you and you alone be the praise and the glory this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Just quickly this morning, we're going to look at two ways in which our world and our lives can be shaken. And scripture that we started off with speaks about the shaking that God is going to do. But sometimes, because of various circumstances, the devil can shake our lives and shake what is important and true to us. Two things we're going to look at. We're going to look at what doubt can do and what fear can do. Starting off with doubt, this twyfel, ne? Twyfel, doubt. The devil has used doubt to get mankind to lose trust in God. From the days as early as in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. He's used that technique then, and he doesn't have to come up with new ideas because he's still getting it right to get people to doubt God today. He doesn't have to come up with new ideas. He's using the same age-old technique that worked for him then, and it's working for him today. So we're going to look at how doubt can shake our world. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, the serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. And one day he asked the woman, did God really say that you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? Wat het hy daarso gedoen op hy oomblik? In that moment, he sowed a seed of doubt. And look at how shrewd he was. He used the very word of God, mixed it with doubt, and the seed of destruction was sown in the heart of mankind. And folks, the devil uses that same technique today. He used the same technique against Jesus in the desert when Jesus was tempted for 40 nights and 40 days. He used the word of God against the living word of God. What a loser. Using the word of God against the word of God. You see, Satan, you can say, and I'm using some poetic license here, was religious because he knew the Word of God, but he didn't have the Word of God in his heart. And we can be like that. We can be so educated, we can be educated beyond our levels of obedience and become religious freaks instead of having a relationship with Jesus. There's a big difference. And he used the Word of God and he sowed that seed. Did God, and you can imagine Eve, the scripture teaches that Eve was deceived. She was actually tricked, not Adam. Adam knew exactly what was going on. And he let it happen right in front of his eyes. When he should have been the man, he was the wimp. When he should have protected his wife, he watched her fall. When he should have taken the responsibility, he didn't. He decided he wanted some of the fruit salad. And imagine what was going on in Eve's mind when Satan sowed that seed for the first time. Did God really say? And he uses that same technique today. If God can, if Satan can get you to have doubt, he's got you. He's got you. So doubt is one of the ways in which our world and our lives can be shaken. Doubt wants to steal our truth. Truth is not a concept or a principle or a value or a memorized verse. Truth is a person and his name is Jesus Christ. That's truth. Pontius Pilate wrestled with the same thing at the crucifixion of Jesus. He was asking, what is truth? And truth was in front of him. Truth, ladies and gentlemen, is a person, and his name is Jesus. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Buddha said, I have found the way. Mahatma Gandhi said, I will show you the way. Jesus Christ said, I am the way. We shared it this morning in the pre-service pre-meeting. There are literally thousands of religions. Literally thousands. But there's only one empty tomb. Only one empty tomb. And Jesus is the truth. So when the enemy sows doubt in your mind, who's he after? The truth of who Jesus is. He doesn't just want to disprove a chapter and a verse or a concept or a principle or something. He wants to come and discredit the person of the Lord Jesus in your life. He wants you to come and doubt, God can't really do that for me. He's only done it for other people. This God is only the God of the Bible. Those things used to happen then. They don't happen in 2022 because God is too busy. He wants to come and discredit the person of Jesus in your life. And this morning, God's encouragement to us is that when seeds of doubt come, hold on to truth. Hold on to Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's never been about us. It's always been about Him. Some people think that church is about us having our best lives now. Folks, it's not. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. So when the enemy sows doubt, he's coming for Jesus. And he wants to discredit and disrupt the words of truth that you know to be true as spoken by Jesus, as spoken by God, as you've meditated on in the scripture, as you've been taught, as you've sat under the teaching of that, as you've walked in that faith. He wants to, did God really? You think God really can do the impossible in today's economic climate in South Africa? You think God can really turn around a messed up nation like South Africa? Do you think God can really fix the political mess that we're in? Come on, guys, be real. Look at the rest of Africa. Surely it's about time before South Africa goes down the same toilet. Can you see the doubt, the doubt? People say this, and Engelseeler, that God-forsaken place. There's no such place as a God-forsaken place. If there's one God-fearing man or one God-fearing woman there, that place ain't God-forsaken because God is God. In spite of what people think and say, it hasn't changed who God is. It has not changed who God is. Truth is a person and his name is Jesus. We can rest assured that God can be trusted because Vifanyela. Let's just do this quickly. How many of you have ever taken something that you know, like, it doesn't really belong to you? Like, maybe even if you've used your werkgevers se fotostaatpapier, You've used the photostat machine to print stuff for the church because it's God's work. How many of you have taken something that doesn't belong to you? Great. So what do you call somebody that steals something? A thief. Okay. So we agree. So what do you call somebody that, how many of you have told like what's known as a white lie? You weren't like completely truthful. You spoke evangelistically and you stretched the truth. What do you call somebody who tells a lie? Okay. So, gentlemen and ladies, what does Jesus teach us about lusting after a woman in our hearts? It's adultery. So how many men have ever committed adultery? Some men are not raising your hands. Yelich, man. You're adulterous. How many of you have ever said, Jesus Christ, look at that taxi driver. Come on. Come on. So you've used the name of the Lord in vain. Okay. So how many of you have ever murdered anybody? Well, how can I believe you? You've just called yourself a liar. So it is possible for any one of us to lie. It's possible, right? Come on, take your halos off and replace it with a cap of reality. It's possible for any one of us to lie. But with God, it is impossible for Him to lie. He cannot lie. People say God can do anything. He can't. He can't lie. He can't deny Himself. He can't go back on His word. He can't forget about you. He can't stop loving you. There's certain things that God cannot do. And one of them is He cannot lie. Numbers 23 and verse 19. Numeri. God is not a man that He should lie, nor son of man that He should repent. He has said, and will He not do? Or has He spoken, and He will not make it good? It's impossible for God to lie. Hebrews 6 and verse 18. So God has given both His promise and His oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to Him for refuge can have good confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. God cannot lie. He is truth. On the contrast, Satan is the father of lies. That's all he can do. All he can do is hy lieg deur sy tande. Hy lieg en bedrieg. And he can counterfeit and try and copy things of the world. The power in which the Holy Spirit moves, the physical effects that the Holy Spirit has on a person's body, the devil has tried to counterfeit it with drugs and alcohol and whatever, and uppers and downers and lowers and inners and outers. And if you've been there, you know what we're talking about. To try and copy the effects that the person of the Holy Spirit has on the human body. All he can do is lie. He cannot create anything. Originally, he takes what's good and pure and true and noble and he messes it and distorts it and he lies and he tells us, try this in the world and do this in the world. It's going to make you feel better. It's going to do this. And it's empty lie after empty lie. Hoe lang gaan het ons vat voordat ons besef? He's the father of lies. That's what he is. John 8 and verse 44. Jesus is very diplomatically and tactfully speaking, trying to be politically correct and not offend anybody. Does that sound like Jesus? Have his mind gespin, man. He spoke it the way he heard it from God. And if you got offended in the process, then that's your story. And he said to them, for you are the children of your father, the devil. Net so, nee? Oh, Jesus, that's politically incorrect. Stop it. You've offended me. You've hurt my feelings, Jesus. I'm going to say this in English, and if I get crucified for it, so what? Stuff your feelings. It's our time. We learned the truth, heard the truth, believed the truth, loved the truth. Hello? Truth is perceived as hate when you hate the truth. We're at the stage, ladies and gentlemen, it's fulfilling Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, and it says this, the time is coming and it is now. When that which is good will be called bad, that which is bad will be called good, that which is bitter will be called sweet, that which is sweet will be called bitter. We're living there now. They're telling you it's wrong to speak out against this. You're a this and you're a that. No, you're just speaking the truth in love. Get used to it. Get used to it. May we never be conformed to the norms of this world and try and fit our theology into how we think the world needs to see us and perceive us as Christians. We mustn't try and fit God into our schedule and make the gospel suitable for us. It's never meant to be. It's meant to crucify the flesh and help us deny ourselves and live to a higher calling according to the gospel of Jesus. That's what it's about, ladies and gentlemen. And the devil wants to lie to us. We said this, I think it was last week. Why is it that so many of us, we want the promises of the gospel, but the lifestyle of the world? We want the lifestyle of the world, but the promises of the gospel. Just a little bit of fire insurance to maybe make sure that I stay out of hell one day. These are lies from the devil. He tells them straight, you're of your father, the devil, man. And he means it like a vip word. They were cross with him. How can you say that? We're sons of Father Abraham. And ooh, they came out with their religious pedigree. And he says, really? Okay. I'll tell you why you're of your father, the devil. And he says, because you do the works of the devil. If you were of Father God, you wouldn't be doing the works of the devil. You do the works of the devil. Your father is the devil. Imagine being told to your face, Satan is your dad. That's Jesus. And he says, he was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth. Because Satan hates Jesus. He's always hated the truth. He says, Satan, the devil, not Lucifer. It was different then. Because there's no truth in him. There's no truth in him. Just continue to pray in the Spirit there. There's no truth in him. In Jesus' name, as we proclaim the gospel in this place, the devil's not happy with what's happening. He's always hated the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's the devil. He lies to us. Something else that can shake our world is fear. Fear. How many people have had some fear into their hearts right here and now, in this moment? How many people? Fear. Folks, we're coming out of a pandemic where fear has done more damage in the world than any virus could have. Did you get that? We're coming out of a pandemic where fear has done more damage than any virus could have. And the devil and the news agencies and whoever have used any and every means possible to grip people in fear. And fear is one of the things that can shake us and rattle us and cause us to question and to wonder why. How many of you, don't raise your hands, have been shaken by fear in the last 2 years? What if? What if? Some people, it's amazed me, they've been so afraid to die. As long as we believe that we've got more to lose by dying than we have to gain, we'll always have a problem with death. Now please, I'm not being insensitive. Just like you, I've lost loved ones. I can honestly say this morning without being proud or stuck up, I've buried more people than any of you. I'm acquainted with death firsthand. But why are Christians afraid of dying? Didn't Paul say in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? And the devil comes and says, you're going to die of some chokhaki called corona, whatever. Well, bring it on and let me go home to be with Jesus. I'm not into ending my life prematurely and short-circuiting God's plan for my life because people can do that. God won't force his will against your will. So I'm not talking about that. But I mean, Satan got so much right through fear in these last couple of years. It's just been incredible. So fear is something that can shake our world. And when I've been told this, I haven't verified it myself and I haven't counted it. We've been told that the phrase do not fear or fear not appears 365 times in the Bible. That's one for each day of the year. All right. But regardless of that, God says, fear not. Fear not. Many people have wondered why Job, remember last week we spoke about Job, they've wondered, why did Job go through what he did? Have you ever wondered? Because if you read the book of Job, it explains how, and it explains how traumatic his life was. And in the book of Job, it says that he was blameless in God's sight. Think about that. Why did Job go through what he went through when he was blameless before God? Surely God could have, like, just considered him a little bit. He's blameless. How many of you are blameless here this morning? I can't put my hand up. But Job was like that. I want to say this. If you've repented, you know you are blameless, right? Because you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. So you can be blameless. But for the sake of this context, there was Job, blameless, and yet die hele hel het losgebreek in die man se lewe. Why? Why, God? Why did God allow Satan to do what he did in Job's life? If you read what happened there, Satan comes to God. He's like, sup? Sup? God says, what have you been up to? He says, oh, I mean, this is... And God starts being the father that he is, because he's first a father. And he starts bragging to Satan about Job. He says, check my servant Job. I want to personalize that this morning. God's saying, check my servant George. Check it Martinez. Check it Chris. Check it Div. Check Mark. You see, they're God-fearing men. You see, they honor God's word. They believe in Jesus. They walk with Jesus. They're living for Jesus. Imagine God bragging about you like that to Satan. And Satan says, yo, he's just doing that because you're being so good or whatever. Let me just attack him a little bit. And God says, okay, go for it. You see, because Satan didn't know that Job had God inside. Did you get that? Satan didn't realize that this God is inside Job. God knew that he's inside Job. And that still happened to Job. But why? Why, ladies and gentlemen? If you haven't asked that question, you should ask yourselves. Well, the Bible gives us a clue. In fact, a direct answer why this happened to Job. In Job chapter 3 and verse 25, listen carefully. We're talking about fear. In Job chapter 3 and verse 25, it says this. Job says, what I always feared has happened to me, and what I dreaded has come true. Did you get that? So before the catastrophes and the chaos hit Job's life, he says, even though he was in a place of righteousness with God, he always feared losing everything. Losing his loved ones, losing his wealth, losing his health. He's always feared that. And guess what? Because of that, the devil had a right to do what he did. Had Job not feared, had Job trusted, had Job believed, God could have said to Satan, you don't touch my boy. Folks, are you getting this? Fear is Satan's currency. Faith is God's currency. You choose what you want to download from the spiritual realm into your life. You want to plug your faith or your thoughts or your focus or your belief or self-stibulatinus van jou mond. Well, I'm afraid this is going to happen. I'm scared that this is going to do. Well, I don't do that because I'm scared of every time you speak that over yourself, what you're doing, you're plugging your life into the currency of the devil, and you're going to download fear into your heart. And when fear settles in your heart, slewfoot has got you. Conversely, you can say, I believe in God. I believe in God. The word says it. I believe it. That settles it. This is what God has said. If God be for me, who can be against me? These are the promises. I believe that, Lord. I don't understand it. I might not see it, but I believe it. And you plug your life into the currency of faith, and heaven comes down, and the kingdom of God is established in your life. Can you see the difference? So doubt and fear are the things that cause our lives to be rattled. Folks, fear and faith. Man, and people say, we had this discussion, it's like, But I don't feel like this and I don't feel like it, but it doesn't feel like this and it doesn't feel like that. Well, here's a news flash. We interrupt this important bulletin to bring you the following news flash. Hot off the press, just come in. Faith and feelings have nothing to do with each other. They never have had, they never will have anything to do with each other. Whether you feel like it or not, faith is still faith. Whether you feel like it or not, God is still God. Whether you feel like it or not, He's still got your back. Whether you feel like it or not, He still loves you. Whether you feel like it or not, He's still the God who cannot lie. Do you get it, people? We live in a world where so many people live in the soulish realm. It's all about our feelings and our feelings and our feelings. Just take those feelings and submit it to the Lordship of Jesus. And folks, I'm not knocking feelings. God gave us those feelings. But He gave us those feelings to submit them to the Lordship of His Spirit, to bring them under the authority of Jesus. And fear is of the devil. Ladies and gentlemen, fear is of the devil. Deuteronomy 31 and verse 8, and the Lord, He's the one who goes before you. Deuteronomium 31, verse 8. He's the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not. That's a promise. Isaiah 43 and verse 1. But now, says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and who formed you, O Israel, fear not, I've redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. And when fear comes, you can't just think faithful thoughts. You need to speak it out. We know that spiritual forces feed on sound waves. That's why you need to speak. The Bible says in Romans 10 and verse 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then we've got to act in accordance with what we hear. So you need to hear it. And when fear comes, you must quote faith scriptures over your life. Speak it out into the spiritual realm. Let those demons and principalities hear the word of God come out of your mouth. Because when you speak the word of God out of your mouth, a demon cannot discern whether it's from you or Jesus. Did you get that? When you believe it, I'm not talking yet net 3, Johannes 3:16 gememoriseer nie, but when you believe it, yeah, and you speak it out, those sound waves, the devil doesn't know who it's from. To him, it's from God, His Creator, Jesus, Heaven's Christ, and the person of the Holy Spirit. He's speaking it out. He has to flee. He has to run. Those sicknesses have to bow their knee to the Lordship of Jesus. Health has to come. Healing has to come. Breakthrough has to come. Provision has to come. There's so few people getting excited about this. Lord, just open our eyes. Man alive. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So He's given us the Holy Spirit of power, the Holy Spirit of love, the Holy Spirit of a sound mind. And as we close this thing this morning, we're starting to land. Consider these acronyms. An acronym is the spelling of a word that means something. Faith and fear. Faith is spelled F-A-I-T-H. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Faith. Did you get that? Must I repeat it? The second acronym is fear. Fear is spelled F-E-A-R. False evidence appearing real. False evidence appearing real. It comes with false evidence. Can God really? Does God really? And it makes us bewijs, hoor. It looks like evidence. It's false evidence appearing real. And let us take courage in these two verses as we close this morning. Romans 8 and verse 31. It says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? If God be for us, who can ever be against us? But the question is, are we letting God be for us? Are we letting God before us, or are we placing ourselves, our desires, our opinions, our feelings, our lifestyle choices before God? If God before us, who can be against us? And in Hebrews 10 and verse 23, let us hold tightly. I love that. When I was preparing this, I try to visualize holding onto Jesus with every ounce of my strength. Holding onto Him as hard as I can with all of the strength in my little body. Hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep His promise. My brother, my sister, where you're sitting here this morning, maybe the devil has been riding you like a horse with doubt and fear for the longest time. Don't you want to put a stop to that this morning? Don't you want to put a stop to that this morning? Come on. Is there anybody here that wants to say to the devil, devil, tot sover en nie meer nie. I'm no longer your slave to fear. I'm no longer a slave to doubt. I'm going to take God's word. I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to live it out. I'm going to put an end to you controlling me with doubt and with fear this morning. And if that is you, let's pray together. I could ask you to stand. I could have an altar call or whatever. You do business right there with God. But what I am going to do is, if you at a place in your life where you're unsure about your walk with God, You don't know if you even deserve to be in heaven, or you're going to live forever for Jesus, with Jesus one day. And if you're not sure, please make sure that you don't leave this place this morning without us praying for you. So let's just pray. If you're a place where you just want the fear and the doubt to end, and you want God to replace it with faith and peace and comfort, let's just pray together this morning. Guys, you know what song I want you to get ready? That one is called, I don't know what the title of the song is. Oh, fear is a liar with a smooth and velvet tongue. That song, get ready that song. What's it called? Fear is a liar. Okay. Father, we come to you this morning as sons and daughters of God, created in your image. We've learned this morning, Lord God, that you cannot lie. Jesus, you are truth. And Satan, you're the liar. And devil, we serve notice in you this morning. We're not going to let our ears be lent out to any lies from you anymore. No matter how good it looks, no matter how interesting it seems, no matter how appealing it may be, no matter how attractive that lie is, no matter what bottle it comes in, or what tablet form it comes in, or no matter what person it's in, whether he or she looks good or not, we will not receive that lie anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. And we come against every spirit of doubt this morning. We command those things to leave. Leave this place. Leave people's minds now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, thank you that you will remove all doubt out of your people's hearts this morning. Jesus, Jesus, bring your truth. Speak your truth into people's hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, dispel lies for what they are. That which is in the darkness, bring it out into the light and expose the truth of who you are and your word in people's lives this morning in the name of Jesus. And set people free, Lord. Father, we're only free if Jesus has set us free. Otherwise, we're just fooled into think we're living free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And Satan, let God's people go. Let God's people go. We speak faith into the place of doubt and peace in the space of fear this morning in the name of Jesus. We come against every spirit of fear, every demon that has lied to people about our future or about our health or about our families or about this government. or about you, Lord, that have demons have lied to us about who you really are. We just cancel those lies right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, you are truth. You are truth. And I ask this morning, Jesus, that you reveal the truth of who you are to each person specifically based on their needs, where they are at. Would you speak your specific truth into their situation right now? Right now, Lord. Show them, Lord. Show them, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, you're the Prince of Peace. We declare your peace in this room this morning in the name of Jesus over every heart, over every troubled soul, over every concerned parent, over every anxious businessman. We speak peace, peace, the peace of Jesus. Over every tired body that's riddled with illness, we speak the health of Jesus into that body. In Jesus' name, Lord. Father, we just declare truth over this nation, Lord. We declare truth in this country. We tell you, Satan, you will no longer keep South Africa in the grip of fear in the name of Jesus. We bring peace into every home and into every heart, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you bring chaos into the enemy's camp, Lord. We bring confusion, Lord God, amongst the demons and principalities and powers. Lord, when your people worshipped you in the book of Chronicles, the enemy turned upon itself. Turn the enemies of the cross against themselves this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And folks, as we close this prayer this morning, if you're not sure about your salvation, if you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, is there anybody like that here this morning? Anybody, please raise your hand. Anybody? Okay, great. Let's stand together as we worship the Lord one more time. Thank you for making the time to listen. May the love of Jesus Christ and the grace of God and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with you all in this week. Walk in faith, no fear, no doubt, knowing that if God be for you, who can be against you? Go for it, gentlemen. Ooh,